Meyer Medical Physicians Group versus Healthcare Service Corp.
May it please the court.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is George Apostolides, and I'm here on behalf of the debtor, Meyer Medical. The court should reverse the district court's decision affirming the bankruptcy court's order to modify the stay, allowing the appellee, HCSC, a set-off to the tune of $1.3 million to the detriment of the bankruptcy estate.
I am very fascinated by this argument because you seem to fall HCSC for the very behavior that we would want to encourage when an entity is about to go bankrupt. They infuse cash in the hopes of staving off bankruptcy. No company in its right mind would do that unless it thought it could go to the head of the line of creditors by using a set-off. And without a set-off, why would HCSC have tried to help Meyer stave off bankruptcy? And ergo, I mean, why should we consider its behavior inequitable?
The answer is because HCSC enrollees were serviced by Meyer medical providers. HCSC had a certain number of medical providers that it used, one of which or that it allowed its enrollees to go to, one of which was Meyer Medical. So by infusing this money into Meyer Medical, it was protecting itself and protecting its enrollees and allowing its enrollees to continue to receive medical care from the same doctors that they had been going to prior to this time.
It didn't advance the money to the specialist, though it advanced them to Meyer Medical.
But that's really...
That seems to me that you're making all these arguments about third parties and so forth, but I don't think that applies here.
That's really a distinction without a difference, Your Honor. Because
I don't see that. Why?
How is it an exclusion without a difference?
Because if you look at the St. Francis case, what happened there is the facts are very, very similar to here. There was an HMO which forwarded money because a medical provider was not paying specialists or outside providers. The difference between that case and this case is that in that case, the HMO, Rush, forwarded the money directly to the specialist medical providers or the outside medical providers. Here, HCSC forwarded the money to Meyer, effectively saying to Meyer, okay, now you pay the specialists and just account for that to us. Because this entire analysis has to be viewed in light of equitable considerations, the fact that the payment went directly to Meyer as opposed to directly to the medical providers shouldn't matter. Because ultimately, what ends up happening is the specialists are paid, and what ended up happening because the payment went from HCSC to Meyer is that the bankruptcy estate is impaired by to the tune of $1.3 million. The district court erred not only with the issue on the issue of mutuality, but it also erred in mutuality in finding that the parties were in the same capacity. Capacity addresses the relationships in which the parties stand and the transactions that are occurring at that time. The law is that when the parties are identical but stand in different relationships in the various transactions, mutuality does not exist and set-off is not permissible. And that's exactly what was happening here. Meyer was...
Well, after you have a fiduciary or something involved, but this is just a straight credit transaction, it seems to me.
But it's a credit transaction involving a party that doesn't provide credit. And that's what makes, and that's the difference.
Can you repeat what you said, please?
Sure. His Honor said that it's a credit transaction. And our position is that HCSC is not a lender. HCSC is an HMO.
They're a creditor, there's no doubt.
They're a creditor. They're a creditor, but they're not a lender. HCSC paid Meyer Medical a capitation every month to provide medical services to Meyer Medical patients. HCSC also paid Meyer Medical out of incentive funds for Meyer Medical's ability to keep HCSC enrollees from using services like hospitals. So Meyer Medical is providing the service, and HCSC is paying Meyer Medical for it. That's entirely different than HCSC loaning money to Meyer Medical and having Meyer Medical pay it back over time. The parties are in two entirely different roles there. And because they're in two entirely different roles, this debt is not mutual. For that reason, the district court should be reversed. In addition, I don't want to gloss over the equitable aspect of all of this.
Could I just quickly ask you if it's true that you waived the issue of the tripartite relationship by not raising it before the bankruptcy court?
I'm not going to speak to that. I don't know, Your Honor. The tripartite relationship argument was made. It was made. The bankruptcy court record, I don't know, is clear enough as to whether or not tripartite was really raised at the bankruptcy court level. It was certainly raised at the district court level, and it was argued there. No waiver argument was made at the district court level by the by HCSC.
So, in other words, you're saying they waived the waiver if there was a waiver.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. I had trouble following that, but yes. With regard to equitable considerations, as the debtor, Meyer has a fiduciary capacity to all of its creditors, not just HCSC. What HCSC did was it loaned money to Meyer, and though the loan had nothing to do with the services that Meyer was providing to HCSC enrollees, it ultimately impaired all of the creditors. And the amount of money that's at stake here is very substantial, $1.3 million. The appellee cites the maximum.
If they hadn't advanced the money, the other creditors would have been equally impaired, if not more so, wouldn't they?
That goes back to
Judge Rovner's question. Why are you going to penalize them for advancing money?
Well, because then they wouldn't have had a set-off. It would not have equally impaired all the creditors, because then HCSC would have simply been one of the pool of creditors without the set-off.
Well, sure, but the other creditors, it's hard to see how they're impaired by the one creditor advancing these funds, which is what this all boils down to, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Except for there is the equitable aspect of it. The appellee cites the Maxwell case as its most important equitable case. The Maxwell case really has absolutely nothing to do with the situation here. In Maxwell, this court faced the issue of whether or not the United States, because it was what the court termed a pervasive creditor, should be somehow impaired by equity. And the argument there was no, it should not be, because the United States has many different branches, many different aspects, many different arms, all of which could be creditors. Maxwell's not applicable here. We're talking about a single creditor that is getting the advantage of this set-off. And it should not be entitled to the set-off. Further, there's the recoupment issue. If the court finds that there is no mutuality and no set-off under 553, the court then has to find, or should find, that there is no recoupment defense by HCSC. Very simply, recoupment requires that there be a demand arising from the same transaction as the debtor's claim, and that's obviously not the case here. The Peterson University Medical Center cases set that forth very clearly. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
All right, counsel.
Thank you.
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Alex Pirogoski, I represent Healthcare Service Corporation, a mutual legal reserve company, the appellee in this matter. I'd like first to address some of the equitable arguments raised by counsel a moment ago. First of all, this case is not St. Francis Physicians Network, no matter how much counsel would like it to be. The major difference, and it is not a difference with no moment, it is a difference that matters in this case, is that in St. Francis Physicians Network, the HMO that received, the debtor in that case, the HMO, did not owe anything back to the insurer.
Well, didn't HCSC directly assume that Meyer's debt to these specialists?
No, Your Honor.
It could not offset the debt against Meyer, could it? Because then it would be a triangular setup.
It did not assume the debt against Meyer. It would, if this case were St. Francis Physicians Network, it would be a triangular setoff, and this would be a very different case. What's missing from the St. Francis Physicians case that exists here is the loan from from HCSC to Meyer Medical.
Right.
That didn't exist in the Physicians Network, in St. Francis Physicians Network case, and therefore St. Francis Physicians Network didn't owe anything back to Rush.
Understand it.
Yeah, but was HCSC liable for the payments to the specialists if Meyer Medical didn't pay up?
Judge, that's not in the record. I don't think.
Well, wouldn't they be liable? That's what she's asking you.
Under the contract, I don't think so.
See, these specialists were taking care of the people that were insured by HCSC, and that lends support to the tripartite relationship theory.
Judge,
but it's not in the record, you say?
It's not in the record what would have been had this been a St. Francis Physicians type situation. In this case, though, both deaths arose out of the 2001 medical services agreement. The debt that Meyer Medical owed back to HCSC was based on an amendment to that contract. It's a two-party contract. Clearly the money was advanced to Meyer Medical directly in its own name, not
for
as
what?
A fiduciary.
To do what?
The purpose of the loan...
To pay the doctors.
The purpose of the loan
services.
Was to pay the services, but there was no... there was no instruction that there was no limitation in the document itself, as the district court noted.
But what other claims were there? Why else advance this money? Even if it's not expressed, it certainly seems to be implied by the circumstances. I mean, you know, what you're arguing is that the agreement doesn't expressly state that its purpose is to advance the funds only insofar as there are outstanding specialist claims to be paid. But what other claims were there?
Your Honor, I'm not saying that that's not the purpose of the advance. It certainly is the purpose of the advance. And though this is not in the record, I would assume that HCSC would expect Meyer Medical to use that money in order to pay the creditors, the specialists. But that
doesn't have any impact on mutuality, though, does it?
No, thank you, Ronnie. That's where I was going. That doesn't impact mutuality because the contract is the contract. The contract hasn't been challenged. And it's a two-party contract. The only parties to the contract are Meyer Medical, the debtor, HCSC, the creditor. And clearly, under the contract, Meyer Medical owes the money that it hasn't repaid pre-petition to HCSC. HCSC owes pre-petition incentive fund payments under that same contract back to Meyer Medical. And those can be offset. Mutuality, that meets the definition of mutuality. The capacity argument raised by counsel, raised by Meyer Medical, is also a new one because, not new in this case, but a new one overall because capacity clearly means, according to case law and according to the Doctor's Hospital case, from this court back just last July, means that the parties are obligor and obligee. The parties owe each other directly in their direct capacities as opposed to in their fiduciary capacities. Counsel isn't arguing that, and the argument has never been raised, that these debts are owed in anyone's fiduciary capacity and are owed anything but directly to each other. getting back to the equitable argument, I think the United States versus Maxwell case, though the facts are different in that case from the case here, the reasoning of the court, this court, is very applicable, is extremely applicable.
Are we bound by this court, or are we bound by the Illinois law to determine a debtor's set-off rights?
The debtor's set-off rights are, what the bankruptcy code does, Your Honor, is it preserves any set-off rights that exist in the debtor, subject to some additional requirements in the bankruptcy code. And as Judge Wood noted in the U.S. Versus Maxwell opinion, there is nothing in the bankruptcy code regarding an equitable exception. The case stated that the equitable argument raised by the party opposing set-off in that case was basically an argument against the concept of set-off altogether, not based on the facts of that case, but against the concept of set-off altogether. And that's the same thing that counsel is doing here. Basically, that case and Collier's, commentators, and other cases such as Bay State York Company all say that an otherwise valid right of set-off under state law should not be denied based on equitable principles in the bankruptcy context unless there's something like fraud or collusion or something akin to that. With respect to the first argument raised and with respect to Judge Rovner's question, Meyer Medical was given a loan by HCSC, and I would point the court to Meyer Medical's brief. On page 4, Meyer Medical states that Meyer Medical requested a loan from HCSC in order to pay those providers. That loan was requested. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant that the business of HCSC is primarily that of an insurer, an HMO. There's no support in the case law or in the record for the argument that the fact that HCSC is not normally in the position of a lender makes any difference at all to mutuality or to the equity argument. The district court also cited Studley versus Boylston, a U.S. Supreme Court case, for the proposition that, as Judge Rovner pointed out earlier, that courts would encourage such loans to failing companies and are loath to punish companies that make such loans. Finally, Your Honors, with respect to the recoupment argument, that neither the district court nor the bankruptcy court before them reached the recoupment argument. Our position is that with respect to that argument, that it was part of the same transaction based on the same contract. The amendment integrated the entire contract and allowed HCSC to withhold monies from Meyer Medical to the extent that monies under the loan weren't repaid, and therefore it meets the test for recoupment in matter of Ike. And I would ask that the court affirm the district court's affirmance of the bankruptcy court's decision.
Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you, Mr.
Your Honors, there are 2 points I'd like to make on rebuttal. Number one is counsel's argument that Meyer Medical's argument is that there should be no such thing as set off, that we're just seeking a blanket rule that doesn't exist in the bankruptcy code. That's not the case at all. We are arguing the facts of this situation, and we are arguing that equity, because of these facts, dictates that there should be no set off. What are those facts? Fact of the loan, the fact that the Maxwell case has nothing to do with this, the fact that at the bankruptcy court level, Judge Black, when faced with competing affidavits about the amount owed, simply made a ruling without giving Meyer Medical the opportunity for a hearing, without giving Meyer Medical the opportunity to cross-examine the witnesses, the witness whose affidavit was presented by HCSC. So there are a lot of facts based on that go toward the equitable argument. Second point is, counsel alluded to the Doctor's Hospital case. Doctor's Hospital case is a case from 6 months ago in which there is a parenthetical in the middle of a paragraph which suggests that it is possible that the issue of capacity goes to whether two parties are obligor and obligee. I would argue to you that parenthetical in the middle of a paragraph does not change the existing law of this circuit or of the majority of the courts nationwide. Thank you very much. Yes, for a reversal.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you. We will proceed to case number 6.